Lord wants to lift us up to higher ground, I believe. Hallelujah. And he has a plan for our lives. Y'all believe that? I mean, the Bible says he numbers the hairs of our head. I don't just mean he counts them. He has numbers for each one of them. And when number 367 lets loose, you know, there it goes. Amen. He renumbers them, I guess. But the Lord is interested in our lives. You know, I'll just tell you, people can be aggravated that God has a desire for their life, details for their life, or they can be excited that God cares about them that much. I mean, some people get aggravated that God cares what we wear. Instead, they should say, well, God wants to be involved in every part of my life. Isn't that wonderful? And the same thing, God wants to be involved in our life. He has a will for us, and I think it's wonderful. Let's read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17 together, if you'd like to read there with me. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. This is kind of a message that I got from our family devotions. John Mark and Stephen's not here. My wife's here, so it may be a rehash of some of that. But at any rate, this is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, that's a pretty plain statement, isn't it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. So the lust of the flesh, that which is kind of a baser sinful nature, desires of that, lust of the eye, is something more that leads to greed and covetousness. Pride of life is something like vainglory of display or boasting of one's possessions. And it says that's not of the Father, but of the world. Verse 17 is where I want to focus on. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, the desires of this world, pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to preach on how to abide forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. People want to endure, and they want to outlive whatever ailments and weakness that they have. That's why so much is invested in the medical community, and that's fine. I'm all for living pain-free, disease-free, and sickness-free. And I'll tell you, unless the trumpet sounds, we're not going to ever live death-free, no matter what. I realize that scientists are working on ways to keep people alive. Rich people are even freezing themselves, you know, and they freeze them, freeze their bodies when they die and keep them fresh to where that when they find a cure for whatever has killed them, that somehow they can bring them back to life and cure their ailment and they can live again. And I'll just tell you right now, that is not going to work. Some are looking at certain things. I read one study where that they felt like the secret to staying young forever was going to be found in the study of the DNA of flatworms. I have to admit, I don't sound like that's going to work either, folks. That just sounds like, hey, I've got a study on something. Would you fund me? You know, that's kind of what it sounds like to me. But at any rate, people are looking for stuff to try to endure and last forever. Some don't go that route as far as wanting to live physically a long time. Others want to be known, just like maybe Muhammad Ali or somebody else that was a famous sports figure or somebody that was a famous actor or actress. Other men run for president to go down in history. If there is something in man that wants to be remembered. Now listen, all of these things, I want you to understand, you know, I think that for the most part it's hopeless. There may be people here that could go down in history as some great individual. But if you do or don't, there's still the desire in man to outlive whatever's going on right now. And there is a way to endure forever. There is a way to have eternal life. There is a way to do something with your life and live in a certain manner to where whatever you're doing will outlive you. In fact, it will put something in you that will be eternal. Hallelujah. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now the world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Only God can provide eternal life. And so more, to abide forever, we need to do his perfect will. Now, in this passage of Scripture, you'll have to recognize that the love of God is in view here. This is the context. To love God is also to keep his commandments. You know, it's so strange to me that love is so divorced from commitment nowadays. I mean love, whether it's a love for man and a woman or a love for parents and children. Parents can tell children that they love them and yet not do anything to provide and protect and help their children in any way. There's no commitment there. They'll go out and party on Saturday night and leave those precious little children to fend for themselves. And many of them get in trouble. There's no commitment. But yet if you ask that mom if they love that little boy or girl, they tell you that they do. And that's a sad situation. In the same manner, there are people that sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but never make a commitment to him whatsoever. In fact, they never draw the line between them and the world. Keeping the commandments of the Lord equals a show of your affection and love for God. If somebody took vows on their wedding day but broke every one of them, that wouldn't show a certain commitment and love, would it? And oh, I tell you, even if they cried and wept and acted all emotional at the singing and the songs and the love songs, it still didn't mean that they loved that individual. In the same manner, there's a worldly church that might cry and sing emotional songs but make no commitment. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And here the Bible plainly says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Not in me. And so we need to keep our love right. Now that love, that's not talking about the world per se. The earth is talking about the world system that is against God. The desires that are rebellious against his will. God has given us desires. He really has. And as long as those desires are fulfilled within the boundaries of God's word, God means for us to enjoy those things. But it's when we have a desire to get outside of the boundaries of God's word and we almost feel like that we'll be happier outside the fence, so to say, that we reject God's will And we don't show that we really love God either. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, those are desires, the pride of life. All of those things move in people's hearts. And some of the things of the lust of flesh, if I could say it that way, within the confines of God's will, are perfectly fine to enjoy. It's just outside those boundaries that they become wicked. Amen. They become wicked and ungodly. And so we have to have a love that rules in our heart. What rules your heart, young man, young lady? What rules your heart? Your love of God or your love of this world? It also includes the things of this world, because there are times where that they can become our master instead of us being the one that rules over them. We can have so much stuff and so many things until that in all reality we're a slave to the things that we own, rather than them being tools for us to get things done for the Lord. I just want you to know the things of this world are going to pass away. Whatever you give your time to that's in this world, it's going to pass away. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all of that, that's going to pass away. So we need to love God, love His will, so we can abide forever. For some reason, some people think that the will of God is something that's a drudgery. That God, for some reason, just wants to beat us so much and beat us down to where that if it's God's will, it's got to be something that's going to cause us to go into a depression. That might be a depression if you resist it. And every time I've yielded to the will of God, there's been joy in my heart when I surrendered. In John chapter 4 and verse 31, this is said of Jesus Christ after that He had talked to the woman at the well and His disciples had went into town to get some food. It says, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. And He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought Him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Do you realize? Hey, listen, eating is enjoyable, isn't it? You know, I've been around some people that forget to eat, but for some reason, that's never really been my problem. I don't ever forget, but I do like to eat. I enjoy it, and I believe God evidently wanted us to enjoy it, or it wouldn't have tasted so good, you know? But Jesus said there is something that tastes better, really, when you surrender to it. When you get to liking it, it satisfies you better than even a good meal. My meat, the thing I really enjoy to feast upon, is doing the will of the Father. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it can be our meat. In fact, it can be your delight. In Psalm 40, the psalmist was speaking of his own heart here, but I want you to listen to this. Again, some people say, well, the will of God, boy, I tell you, it is a drudgery, it's a pain, it's a heartache, and I'm not going to say there isn't a time where you say, not my will, but thine be done, and the surrender part can be a wrestling match, but when there is a surrender, there's a great blessing. In Psalm 40 and verse 8, the Bible says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. The will of God, instead of something that people look at and say, well, God's going to punish me with this. Instead, it's going to be wonderful. Whatever God has planned for me, whatever God desires for me, that's what I desire. And it's going to be wonderful for me. Again, if you're always fighting God's will, you're going to be miserable. But when you surrender to it, it's a delight when that's really what you want. And that's really what you hunger and thirst after. It's going to be your joy. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it can be something that we really are thankful concerning. We can be really grateful to the Lord. You know, I want to ask you something. When you're really, really in your heart's filled with gratitude about something maybe a person did for you, gave to you, or something God did, aren't you happy when that happens? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, God can help us to be thankful in every circumstance because it's God's will. Amen. I'm walking in God's perfect will. And even if it's something bad to a certain extent, I may not be able to rejoice in the badness of it. But I do know this, all things work together for the good. I may not be able to see it right at first, but I can trust God and say, this is the will of God. Amen. James tells us that we can rejoice because that this trial, even in a trial, because the trying of your faith will work virtue, patience, yes. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. You see, there can be a certain understanding that even if this is a trial, if this is the will of God, God's able to bring out a certain virtue in my heart concerning this. God is able to make me look more like Jesus Christ concerning this. Amen. The Bible says in that scripture in Romans 8 where it says that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. The next verse says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." Do you realize that's the purpose of it all? Amen. God can make us more like Jesus in everything that happens in our life. And we can still be thankful in that manner. We can love God's will is what I'm telling you, folks. We can love God and this worldly will. We reject that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, that's all the worldly will. We reject that because we love God. God's love rules our hearts. And we can be thankful. It can be our feast. It can be our delight. It can be our dessert. I believe that we need to live His will. You know what it said there in verse, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Not just somebody that knows the will of God, but somebody that does the will of God. He's the one that abides forever. Well, you know, we know that it's God's will for people to be saved through Jesus Christ. But there are people that know that's God's will, but they don't do it. They do not repent of their sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand that we still need to operate in that right there. As Christians, we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And so what do we need to do with that attitude? We need to pray for the lost. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, it says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings." You got to realize, when Paul was writing this, it wasn't Democrats, Republicans, it was Nero. And Nero had Christians burnt as torches in his garden while he had parties. I want to tell you something. Amen. We've got it pretty easy, don't we? Amen. It says, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pray for them that God will help us to have freedom and liberty through them. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have how many men saved? All men saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Amen. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Can I tell you, it's part of doing the will of God for the church to pray for the lost to be saved. Whether it's Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or Barack Obama, amen, or somebody that's near you that don't have hardly a dime in their pocket, I want you to know it's God's will for them to be saved. And it's also God's will for the church to pray for the people to be saved. Pray for your immediate family, but pray for folks. Ask God to put people in your mind that you need to pray for. It's God's will for the church to pray for the lost to be saved. Because God wants, He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's not a person that you know that God don't want to be saved. Not a person that you know that is so lost, so evil, so wicked, that God says to the church, it doesn't matter if you pray for them. He wants all men saved. Amen. Everybody saved. So, if we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to pray for the lost. That's part of the will of God for the church, right? Amen. I believe it's also God's will for us to witness. In John chapter 4, I go back to that after Jesus talked about it was His delight to do the will of God. And in John chapter 4 and verse 35, it says right after this, I'll read it again. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work. Then verse 35, say not ye. That there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Amen. And you know what He was saying to the disciples? He was saying, listen, we've got to work in the fields and try to win the lost right now. Don't say, I've got a little time, it's later. No, there's people that need salvation right now. And we need laborers right now. And so it's God's will to use us 4 months from now. He wants to equip us and use us right now to spread the gospel and touch people's lives. And oh, I appreciate those of you that witness, but I need constant reminding, and I don't know if you do as well. I need a constant reminder that is part of the will of God for my life. I don't have to pray about it, and I sure don't need to wait on it. I need to find time to just do it, because he that doeth the will of God abides forever is what the Bible says. Amen. Then living holy is also part of God's will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Amen. Again, the Apostle Paul speaking about the will of God. And I could get into all kinds of other things. Amen. I believe it's God's will for us to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and different things. But I just felt like going maybe through a few of these things. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You know, God wants a holy church. God wants a set-apart church. He wants a church that's living holy, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. A complete and total sanctifying work from the depths of our spirit to our outward person. Amen. God wants us holy. And if it's His will, then I say that we can be holy. Praise God. But he that abideth is going to have to know the will of God and do it. Amen. Holiness is a part of God's holy plan. And so we got to do it. But the blessing of it is we live forever. Hallelujah. There's other things that's in the will of God. But listen, exploring and finding out the will of God is wonderful. I want to say to you young people, there's some young folks here that's making major decisions about work or who to marry and so on. And you've got major decisions that you need to make. And I'll tell you, first and foremost, there's principles in the Word of God that you can make your decisions about. If that job or something is going to take you away from God, that's not God's will, period. If it has something to do that would promote sin and evil and wickedness, and you'd have to compromise your convictions, it is not God's will to take that job. I don't care how much money it is. Amen. If it's going to even take you away from godly family and parents and so on, amen, to the point that you're going to be completely taken away from them, I don't believe that's God's will. In fact, you married young couples and so on, don't ever take a job that you're going to have to sacrifice your family in order, amen, to fulfill your obligations for it. That's not God's will. Amen. You don't sacrifice your own spirituality or your own family or your own convictions just to make money. I'm just going to tell you, there's something that's going to pass away. That's money. That's a 401k. It's all going to pass away, folks. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. I realize money's important. I believe if you put God first, God can help you find something else. You don't have to settle for second best. In the same way, I'll just tell you, if you're looking for a husband or wife, you don't have to settle for somebody that's lower than what God's expectations is for you. Amen. You have something set up high. Amen. A young man or young lady that's truly a Christian, that has convictions of honesty, morality, amen, and holiness in their heart, you lift that up. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is important. And I believe that there are certain things that you can set as a standard. Amen. Especially if you're looking for somebody maybe in the ministry, there is a certain depth of spirituality that has to be. And I want to preach to you and tell you that God wants to direct your life. And if you will pray and claim the promises of God, you will be able to walk in His pathway and make decisions that are best, whether it's about your job or about your future husband or wife, whoever that it is. I want you to know God's able to make the best decisions. And many a times the way that I've been able to determine God's will, amen, is when that I was praying and in my most spiritual state, when I would bring that up, whatever way was peace, when I was spiritual. Now, sometimes God can speak to you. Sometimes God can give you a dream. But there are times where that I feel when I'm the most spiritual and the most dedicated, and I feel the peace of God and the joy of God in the midst of that, then I know that's the path to take. Do not ever take a path of trouble and strife and heartache. I'll just tell you, if you're having strife right now, that's probably not the road that God wants you to walk on. Praise God. You got to do the will of God. The blessing of it is that you live forever. He abides forever. Matthew chapter 25, there is a judgment that is spoken of there as well as a reward. You know, it's amazing to me how much that Jesus spoke of rewards for those that do the will of God. And I know you just can't necessarily think, well, I'll do this and get a reward, but I do believe that the Lord wants us to have somewhat in mind that whatever we do here in this world is going to make a difference in the world to come. Brother Randy testified back a couple of services ago and said he wanted a soul winner's crown. I believe God is pleased when we look past the rewards of this world, and there are rewards for hard work and labor and so on, and I'm not against that necessarily. I'll tell you, when we look past the rewards of the desires of this world and we see there's eternal rewards when we do the will of God. Oh, there's eternal rewards. In Matthew 25 and 21, it says here, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And I tell you, you don't have to, amen, be talented. You don't have to have the biggest brain in Christianity. You don't have to be the most eloquent speaker in Christianity. You don't have to have the golden voice, amen, of the Christian age. But you have to be faithful. Amen. Faithful in what? Faithful in the will of God. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. But in the world to come, when somebody shows their faithfulness over a few things in the will of God, he makes you ruler over many. I remember when I was a young preacher, and my wife had a fellow that was an influential man in her life, and he was good in a lot of ways, and he went worldly. He was a preacher, and at one time he was a mighty, mighty preacher, great preacher, and had really helped my wife in so many ways. But he got to talking to her, and he said, you know, Lloyd, he don't have any ambition. He's not going to preach camp meetings, and he'll probably pastor some little church of 20 people, and that's all that he'll ever do. And he said, I think you ought to consider that. And so she called me, and she said, well, what are your ambitions? I said, my ambition is to do the will of God. Amen. She said, you know, that's right. I said, listen, I said, if it's God's will for me to pastor a church of 1,000 people in a big city, and that would be fine. I said, if it's God's will for me to preach camp meetings, that's fine. But I said, if it's God's will and I'm in the perfect will of God to pastor a church of 20 out in the country, and there's no way that we could grow, I'd be wanting to do the will of God. Amen. She agreed with what I said. And it was already obvious that that man was looking at things in a very natural way. The Bible didn't say, you know, that's the problem with him right there. You know what he got to doing? He got to looking at whatever was biggest was the will of God. And so he left the church and went to a church that ran around 1,000, but he had to compromise every belief he ever had to have it. I don't think he's been faithful, because it's not even faithful to the Word of God and not to the convictions that he's had in the past. But if you're faithful over a few things, amen, if you know the will of God and you do it, he's going to make you ruler over many things. You talk about, hey man, there is going to be a judgment one day, and the Lord is going to say, well done to some people that you might not think have done much, but they knew the will of God and they did it. Whatever the will of God for their life was, they accomplished it. They fought a good fight. They finished their course. Henceforth is laid up for them a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, gives to all them that love his appearing. Glory to God. Amen. In Revelation chapter 5, amen, in verses 8 through 10, I love this scripture here. It's obvious there's a group in heaven here in Revelation chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10. And it says here, and when he had taken the book, you know how that there was a in the right hand of God the Father. There was a book with seven seals, and they was wondering who was worthy to take it. And finally, Jesus was worthy to take the seven-sealed book. Verse 8 says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. Now listen, I know 24 is all it lists right there. But in the Old Testament, Jews would understand this. 24 priests ministered at the temple by course. David set that up. 24 priests represented all the priests. Hallelujah. 24 priests in the house of God. And so there's more kindred tongues and nations than just 24. Y'all understand what I'm saying? These 24 elders represent all the other people of God. It says, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want you to know right now that that right there shows the fulfillment of it all. These people right here were the ones that Jesus spoke of. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. What were these people? They were priests and kings before God. The Lord had rewarded them for their faithfulness. Hallelujah. You can see in another portion of Scripture where that they took their crowns and threw them at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they recognized the fact that he was the one that was worthy. Praise the name of Jesus. You want to abide forever? Find the will of God and do it. Amen. Find the will of God and do it. Could we all stand? Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would make your will so plain to some people here and help us to dedicate ourselves to the will of God. There are some things you want us all to do. You want us to pray for the lost, to witness to the lost. You're wanting us, Lord God, to fulfill your will and live in holiness and being sanctified. There's other things that are individual things. People are needing decisions about a job and different stuff in their life. But I know you can show your will for everybody here. God, make it plain, but help us to be dedicated to it. Help us to love God enough to enjoy the will of God. We thank you so much for all you've done. Pray your blessings upon this altar service in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come around this altar and let's commit ourselves to the will of God. Say, I want to delight in the will of God. I want it to be my meat. I want it to be my joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.